Damn, a lot of Lovecraftian games are coming out.
Damn. I like how so far a lot of the main characters are black.
No, also, no, because remember it went to public domain a couple years ago?
Yeah, but no, because...
Because the dude was a racist.
I think that I do appreciate everyone taking that stance with him. Like, yeah. That's how, if I write anything H.P. Lovecraft, it has to be a to him.
No, absolutely, but that no, the reason
it
why
it's public
so many,
domain, yeah.
Because it was a couple years, public domain, so everyone's hopped on it. I'm just surprised we haven't got any, like, actual, a lot of, like, films or short films, anything like that.
I think everyone's still in the fears of Arkham House suing when they don't have any rights to sue anymore.
Mm.
All right. Draggy, we're going to go in 10 seconds. Going in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I am your host, Anthony King, and with me is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards. Yeah.
Here to work.
Yeah, here to work tonight, buddy. How are you guys doing tonight?
Okay.
Doing all pretty right. Good?
You know, stuff and things.
Things and stuff. Things stuff and stuff, things.
You know how it goes.
Mm-hmm. You gotta do it in the Walking Dead voice. What are you doing?
I'm doing things. I'm busy.
Stuff.
Yeah? You doing stuff?
You're doing stuff, all right, buddy.
You're busy? Looking a little disheveled there, buddy.
But yes, it's we have...
Your bitch of a wife is dead?
Oh, damn. But yes, we have quite a bit going on in the film news. A lot of things have been popping off this week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's just get right into this because, man, this is some pretty interesting topics that we got coming on tonight. So, first off,
actually, hold on. Before we start, can I do one quick thing?
Oh, you want to go into your whole spiel? Okay, so.
It's a quick 1 minute spiel. That's all it is.
Let me set it up for you. So, yeah. Oscars just happened. We watched it, last week?
Yep.
We didn't really want to cover over that because we know that viewer ratings with Oscarships has been kind of slowly dying down. So, we didn't think it was going to be really good, interesting topics to talk about. But this one thing that Adrian wants to go on a rant about last week's Oscars.
Yes. All I got to say is quickly is, I'm even trying to pronounce his fucking name because that's how much pisses me off. Jacques Aldrin? Anyway, the director from Emilio Perez. That fucking guy. Fuck him. Fuck that movie completely. Fuck the writers, even if he fucking wrote it. Fuck everyone involved to that one. Except for the actors, they just had fucking be there for that one. But, and let's say, fuck this dude, because this motherfucker decided just to go write a movie about Mexicans, Mexico, the cartel, and decides to do the minimal amount of effort. This motherfucker all just looked at a Wikipedia page and decided, you know what? I'm going to make a movie about Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Tell him.
And didn't even bother learning about the culture. Mm. You know, if it was any other culture, people would have been shitting on this guy.
That's right. Go off.
But what bothers me the most is this motherfucker did the minimal amount of effort
to learn
about Mexico. To make a fucking musical about the cartel, has some balls to do something like that. 500,000 people were killed by the cartel, and this motherfucker decides to do a fucking musical about it. I don't care about the whole LGBTQ and all the other. I don't give two shits about that. My major thing is this fucker decides to, a French guy, by the way, from France, was born and raised in Mexico, grew up in Mexico, fucking even visited Mexico. Decides to make a fucking movie about this.
See, can we get more of that? Like, it's like people who have no understanding or even doing the research of the film producing like an international film. Like, can we have like Ang Lee doing his own version of 12 Years a Slave?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Damn.
Yeah, this is like, and then what bugs me the most is people are fucking praising this movie. He's being offered for BAFTAs and all this other bullshit. And like, how the fuck are you motherfuckers that blind to this guy?
Could we get like Paul Thomas Anderson doing Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
Like, can we get more films like that?
Just people that are like, yeah, technically you can make the movie, but you're never going to resonate with it
at all. Yeah. Like, so that's, I feel the same way when they did that, but it's just, it was so funny, like, reading more into Emilia Perez film House Produced. So, I was like, wow. It was,
it's
like,
so fucking upsetting, dude. It's
minimal effort.
It's so upsetting. And what's even, let's even add to it is the idea that there are people who are going to watch this movie and that's what they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extremely upsetting. And yeah, fuck that dude completely. Fuck him and fuck everyone around him.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about putting the most minimal effort in, we're finally get a remake of House of the Dead with Paul W.S. Anderson, the creator of Evil Dead or the Resident Evil series and Event Horizon.
And the Mortal Kombat.
And the Mortal Kombat. He did the first two.
95.
Did he do?
No, he did the first one.
He only did the first one. Okay. Yeah. And did the first Mortal Kombat film. Now, I want to say put minimal effort because not because Paul W.S. Anderson, like, I don't like his films, but at least for the fact he puts in effort.
Yes.
But there was 20 years ago, Uwe Boll's.
Let me go on this motherfucker now.
Oh, no, rant number two. Rant number two.
No, just fuck him completely.
That's Uwe Boll's House of the Dead. We're finally get after 20 years, another remake, another chance at House of the Dead.
Yeah.
And this time, creator Resident Evil. This is actually pretty interesting, too. They actually do have some concept screenshots.
Yeah.
And from apparently, the script is actually almost done, and it's going to go hopefully in production towards the third quarter of this year.
Fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter of this year. And he's also stating that this movie would potentially be in real time, which I said that before we started. The only real time films I've ever seen was Silent House with Elizabeth Olsen and Alfred Hitchcock's Rope.
Yes.
Those are the only two films actually. And when I say real time is there's no jumps in the time. There's no like next day, 2 hours later, nothing. Like when the film opens up, you're seeing the real time events happen throughout the entire movie until the end.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a pretty interesting concept because I think he's trying to follow the format of the old rail shooter.
Yes. Yeah, so the video, if anyone doesn't know that, it's just a rail shooter that's just literally from beginning to end, just one motion. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
There is no time skip. So it seems he's going for that route.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like from the concept art, which those are the normal zombies. Mm-hmm. Looks like it. Death. I believe that's what his name is, and the magician.
Mm.
Yeah, you play the fuck out of those games.
You play the fuck out of these games, so you actually know the type of characters, monsters, and everything that's going to show up.
Oh no, yeah, because like I said, when the first one was originally announced,
mm-hmm.
I was all for it. I was excited. That was the first movie that crushed me completely.
I know.
It crushed me, man.
Your first disappointment.
Yes.
And then afterwards, everything Uwe Boll just touches is pure disappointment. But this might actually have a chance. Like I said, I'm not the biggest fan of Paul W.S. Anderson. You know, I have my nostalgia with Mortal Kombat. I recognize it's not a good movie for me. I like the first Resident Evil movie, don't like the rest. Event Horizon, nostalgia, I watched it again, I didn't like it.
To me, I know I'm not going to get a great film. I'm just going to have a fun film out of it.
An entertaining film.
It's an entertainment. At the end of the day, I'm just going to be entertaining and I'm good with that.
But we're not asking the real question. Who's Mia Jovovich going to play?
She's going to be somewhere in this.
She's going to be somewhere in this movie.
She's playing the magician. Character.
No, the main character, because what's the one that just came out? Monster Hunter.
In The Lost Lands. That's the last one that she just read. Monster Hunter was the one previously. There was a newer one that came out not too long ago in The Lost Lands.
The Lost Lands.
That one's
Monster Hunter.
Dumb as hell. Yeah.
So by all that pattern, she's a main character somewhere.
Always in all his films.
And all the main character, yeah.
So that's going to be pretty... And they said this one's going to follow more closely to the third game.
It's just shooting zombies and getting to the big bad guy. I'm not going to make any better next.
I honestly didn't even know this even had a storyline. I just thought it was just random rail shooters that you just shoot zombies and then that's it. I didn't know there was a story to these.
Oh, dude, it's a storyline to it, and... It's becoming the community where it's just more fun because of the voice acting.
Horrendous.
It's horrible. I'm talking about as minimal as you can get. And that's what makes it great. Yeah, that's a very basic storyline. I'm not going to sugarcoat and say it's a great video game.
Yeah.
It's just, dude, for a quarter, you can shoot zombies. Come on.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing this when it actually comes out. Yeah. All right, next what we have here on our film news. Disney is planning on shelving a lot of their long form streaming content, specifically with the Tiana Disney Plus series. So that's the first one to get axed, but they said recently that they're not going to focus on creating long form animation contents for Disney Plus. They're going to go back to their ways of creating theatrical animated films and then after some time moving over to their streaming platform.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
doesn't surprise me, honestly. Mm-hmm. It doesn't surprise me just because of the content that's been released.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the only original plan they had that in the beginning, because Disney Plus didn't have a lot of content.
Yeah.
But after, since they got all these acquisitions, now you can find 20th Century, you know, films on there. You see a lot of stuff that was on Hulu migrate on. There's actually rated R films now on Disney Plus. Yeah. So since their catalog grew, I can see why they don't need to focus on this strategy no more. This was honestly like their second form of like direct-to-video releases.
Yeah.
It was like that.
It was like that because I don't know, you remember like how they did with Cars. They had like those mm-hmm. car shorts.
Yeah.
Then every other, you know, what Frozen had theirs.
Well, they did announce they're still going to do the shorts. So the Tiana series got revamped into a short. So they're going to still be releasing shorts, but they're not going to be focused on creating animated series content for Disney+. They're going to go back and really work on theatrical films.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like you had, what was it? Dream Productions.
Yeah.
And as well as Win and Lose.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go back to, they're going to go back to shorts and films and put aside series projects
mm-hmm.
like that. And honestly, I'm kind of cool with that because I never really asked for like a full series.
Yeah, you don't really ask for stuff. Production of a
show or something.
Yeah.
But they haven't stated whether they're going to stop with producing films just for Disney Plus, because that's also a big money waste for them is these films directly just because.
That was COVID era thinking.
A lot of companies and still stuck on that thinking, which is weird because that was supposed to be a temporary thing. But a lot of I don't think they got money from that. So I don't know why they tried that practice. It felt just lazy.
It's kind of hard to pinpoint. Like it goes back to the thing about movie theaters being too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, how do I put this way? Especially with Disney, we have families. It's hard to, you have to somehow sell it to the family so they could bring the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to bring a family of five into the theaters, that easily can go up to, you know, up to $100, $150, depending on how many snacks and shit you buy there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to push it towards streaming because you're guaranteed to, you know, get the family to watch. Mm-hmm. How they make the money off of that, I have no clue.
I think they're just relying on increased subscriber counts.
Yeah.
But the only real show that was bringing them money was Bluey. that's the real thing. Like when they're looking for the kid animated series, kids weren't really watching the Lion King animated series. People weren't watching like any like Aladdin or whatever like animated shows they had based off movies. A lot of people were just trafficking a lot of their views to Bluey.
That's true.
And then the movies.
The overall fan base for Bluey is insane, including the moms.
Oh yeah.
There's like fan pages. Because I think like one of the animators is leaving Bluey and the moms on like certain Facebook groups were like in an uproar because they were like, shit, the quality's going to go down. It's going to look horrible. Like the way they reacted to Bluey is the same we react to like other news related topics.
Actually, film. I found out through a couple people was that since none of us have kids, is when you have kids, you're supposed to be, you know, you're going to have to sit there and watch whatever they're watching. But over time, you just become invested to whatever they're watching. So you start getting pretty much captured into that world.
Yeah.
And even the kids just watching cartoons, you know, colors, and that's all it is. But to the parents, it's like, holy fuck, this thing's like, this is compelling television right now.
I never had that growing up as a kid. And my mom did not like anything. She'll just walk away. Or the only time she ever sat down and watched something, because her show was coming up next. So I did force her to watch through all of Dragon Ball GT. Because right after that, she wanted to watch Real Housewives of Hollywood. No, it was Desperate Housewives.
Mm. I can't think of any. The Simpsons probably the only one because that was like we would sit at night. But I guess as a kid, I'd be like Sesame Street. I guess that'll be it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll sit there, watch it. Yeah, me and my mom would watch it.
No, my mom was always here. Watch that and she'll just walk away.
Mainly because my mom also grew up with Sesame Street as well. So it turns out a thing where I watched it with her
mm-hmm.
Or she watched it with me. And I guess, but I heard parents do get like heavily invested into like wherever their kids are watching, especially Bluey. Those families are feral when it comes to that.
Yeah. So I'm glad they're actually finally reeling back on trying to do these animated TV shows based off all these movies. Like they were talking about like a Frozen. Moana 2 was originally going to be a Disney Plus show before they scrapped that and then released it as a film.
It just reminds me of like all the, it just, whatever the studio was that handled those B-rated like straight to DVD
movies,
knockoffs of Disney.
That's what this was.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't like that. I didn't like those either.
I mean, that was just for VHS sales. That's what it was. Yeah. But for this, it's like I said, there,
it was for subscriber. It was for to increase subscriber count.
Subscriber count, but kids don't care about seasons.
Yeah, they really don't.
Kids don't care about seasons.
You just put a movie or just anything on, and then they're just happy just to watch it.
That's why they. That's why they're keeping the shorts, because the shorts.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting them moving forward with this strategy, and hopefully, you know, they actually focus on creating original films just for theatrical releases, because in the end of the day, that's where they got their money in the first place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go over to the last bit of film news before we hit our break.
More Disney.
I know Disney.
Yeah, Disney yet again, man. We got the Moana lawsuit finally dropped. The jurors said the stories do not line up, so they disagreed. It was what's his name?
Buck Woodall.
Yeah. So
by Bucky.
Yeah. So apparently, this person created his own script called Bucky the Surfer, which he claimed that Disney stole that and recreated it into Moana.
Mm-hmm.
With a lawsuit that came like 4 years, 5 years later.
Yeah.
Like he should have done that when it first came out with Moana.
It was first one was 2016.
Mm-hmm. And the lawsuit didn't come in until like what, 2020? 2022?
Did he finally watch it?
I know. No, he literally waited until they're announcing the second Moana film to finally actually do something. And by the time it finally went to a court case, they actually literally had the jurors sit down and watch through Moana and then read through his script. And they're like, there's similar things, but all the similar things have to do with Polynesian culture.
Yeah.
So you can't really claim that he got stolen, like the project was stolen from, yeah.
I'm lost in words, honestly. I'm lost in words. Like, it's just so much, like,
I mean, it was pretty dumb, too. Especially, like, who did he say that he claimed that he met with someone from Disney?
He sent it to a distant relative.
How distant? His idea. How distant?
The distant would be the stepsister to his brother's wife.
That's pretty far.
And did he say he actually had any one-to-one meetings from people, any executives from Disney?
The only meeting that he had was an assistant that was arranged by that distant relative, which was Jenny Marchick, which is now the head creator, or was it the head creator or development of DreamWorks? It was the one that we just talked about a few episodes ago.
Okay, so yeah, new person who's ahead of directing a lot of the DreamWorks projects.
Yeah, or at least like the head of development.
Development, yeah. So now, and she denied anything, right? She denied having to be involved with any of that?
She said that she showed it to somebody else, like a friend, but it was not someone who worked at that studio.
Got it.
So it was, she didn't share it enough or share it with anybody high enough to be able to say that she pulled those ideas, because he kept sending her like more like information, like messages and shit like that about like more ideas. So the idea is that he thinks that all those ideas that he sent, she fed it to higher execs, and that's where the movie was created.
Okay. And were they posted, did they describe any of the simulators he believed that they shared between his Bucky the Surfer and Moana?
Yes. So he said that, or Woodall's attorney outlined some of the similarities of the two works. They both included teens in oceanic quests. I mean, not really.
Yeah.
Already, you know, it's kind of Little a stretch. Mermaid? Okay. Right? Little Mermaid. Both have Polynesian demigods as central figures and shape-shifting characters who turn into, among other things, insects and sharks. Sounds a little bit like Hercules and.
Yeah.
Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove. Also said that a lot of these elements, including Polynesian lore and basic staples of literature, are not copyrighted. The person who was the prosecutor for that one, who was the defendant for Disney, was saying that, yeah, these pretty much are ideas, similar ideas. Mm-hmm. However, because these specific traits of what you're including the oceanic quests, the demigods, the transformation, those ones can also be characterized as writers that have worked, who also worked on Moana, are the same ones who also worked on The Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Hercules.
All those classics. Big classic hits, yeah.
Big classics. And all those sharing the same characteristic of transformations, demigods,
mm-hmm.
As well as like humans turning into creatures.
Yeah.
Vice versa, mm-hmm. type thing. So his sense for Disney was that we couldn't have copyrighted because the writers that we got to work on Moana are the same ones that worked on these ones.
And they borrowed the same stuff they used from previous projects onto this one.
Yes.
Got it.
And so they even went on to say as well that the attorney said that Musker and Clements, those are the last names of the individuals that are working on it.
John Musker?
Yep, John Musker.
Got it. And Ron Clements, yeah.
And you can even look down as far as the movies that they've worked on in the past, including Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Hercules,
Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet, including Moana.
So, the Great Mouse Detective.
The Great Mouse Detective. So to say that that Disney stole those ideas, it just seems really, really far-fetched. It's a huge reach.
I mean, we always get those claims from people claiming that some big studio stole something from their book or original story before, but this is the first time where it actually went to trial.
Yes.
Because
remember back, that one lady who claimed, like, the Matrix stole her whole idea from her books?
Yeah. It was a Matrix Terminator and
stuff. Like that. Where just like she had really no basis for that, but at least like everything got for what she claimed was shut down. This is the first time it actually went into a court trial for stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. I think the judge might have been bored because the amount of money he was asking for is just stupid.
How much?
$10 billion. Yeah, $10 billion.
That's like,
yes.
Yeah, that's not even,
the movie didn't even make that much.
It made over a billion.
I mean, or a billion, but
definitely not.
Not 10 billion.
Not 10 billion.
I wouldn't even say the merch even made that much.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't think the theme park's worth that much. I don't know what he expected. I don't know if he expected the judge, like, yep, just give him this.
Just give that man $10 billion. Yeah. He needs it.
Like, that's just so, that's so bizarre to ask for that much money.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I don't want to, not knowing the dude or what it is, but dude, I just got to shit talk one thing about this dude is, what was his name again?
Buck
Woodall.
Why the hell was his name his own movie Bucky?
Self-centered. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It's a story of his life, man.
It's about him, man. He is Bucky the Surfer Boy.
He is
Bucky. You know what it reminds me of a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Of, I don't know if you guys remember this. It's an old clip from The Simpsons when Skinner gets fired and he thinks he's going to write a great American book, The Great American Tale,
mm-hmm.
about a futuristic theme park that clones dinosaurs. He's going to call it Billy and the Clonosaurus. And Apu goes off on him, talking about it's the most popular film of all time and it's the most lazily named movie as well.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I think about this. Like, dude, how lazy you got to call Bucky the Surfer Boy.
Yeah. And they said, like, it only took the jurors 2.5 hours to deliberate before, now you have no claim here.
And also another claim to it as well is, like, he was talking the Polynesian culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing we compared earlier to Coco and the Book of Life.
Yeah, you can't make claims that they stole from anyone because
it's a culture thing.
It's based off the culture. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, come on, man.
I was actually wondering how this would come to be. And I actually thought that the trial would go a little longer for this, but this was cut pretty short.
Dude, you watched a movie. Those jury members got to watch a movie and call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. You literally got a free pass just to be a juror, watch a movie, and be like, all right, yeah, no claim here.
Yeah, that's true. They had to watch the movie in its entirety in court.
Yeah.
And then draw like parallels or anything where they could find any.
Not even like clips. They even like do a compilation. They didn't even like get like, all right, we got these clips that they have the claims. They made them watch the entire movie.
They really did. Mm-hmm. They were so confident in it that they were like, you know, I'm going to watch it from beginning to end. All the songs. Hell, fuck. Put the sing-along version.
But Woodall's lawyer did say they're going to try to go for other options. So I think they're looking for any avenue they can try to get some money from this.
Dude, just give up, man. Just give up.
You invested this far in. You got to end with something.
And I'm sorry to say this, but like, you're the idiot who pitched someone ideas without having any paper trail of your own. You didn't have any scripts notarized. That's you didn't true. Have any copies for emails. You didn't have anything to prove what you had. It was just all hearsay.
Yeah,
that's true.
You should know, like, you shouldn't trust a studio with your ideas without having the paper trail you created it.
And also, I mean, not to read in too much into it, but it does kind of sound like she ghosted him. She's like,
yeah.
That's true. Yeah. At one point, she just stopped answering the messages altogether.
Because Paul was spamming her.
And then at when he was starting to complain about Moana when it was released, as he was like messaging her more about this and like, this looks like this and this, like, oh, this is my idea, blah, blah, blah. And at one point, she wrote back, like, there's nothing I can do.
You know? Yeah.
Like, you're on your own.
You're on your own. Like, what do you want me to do about this?
Yeah.
So that's something where it's pretty funny how this thing comes about. And I think they're going to have a lot more information, a lot more details of what happened in that court case. So we're going to keep you guys updated with that. But all right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to cover our main topic. So stay tuned. We'll be right back to you guys.
Here are some smaller news topics that couldn't make it in today's episode. The Last of Us Season 2 trailer release, showing some of the game's most iconic moments. The season is set to release on April 13th of this year. Warner Brothers and Sony have combined forces to leverage the bill related to Hollywood 2.0 in Las Vegas. And the new Thunderbolts teaser trailer showcases its film pedigree by highlighting creatives that have worked on A24 films. That's it for smaller news topics. Now, back to the episode.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. It finally came out. We've been waiting for so many years, and Daredevil Born Again finally released with its first two episodes, man.
At least 10 years waiting.
No, that hasn't been that.
It's been a decade.
It's really?
Really?
Yeah.
Season three. When is season three?
Nah, I fucking lie. I'm sorry. It's from a decade after it was debuted.
Oh, I was like, no. I was going to say, no. Like, it has not been that long. I was like, no way.
My bad. I got the number
wrong. Cap. I call Cap.
I was waiting for a Daredevil.
So when did season three come out?
2016?
Okay.
2015?
2015?
Yeah. I want to say 20. I'm pretty sure it's 2015.
No.
No, it's got to be 18, right?
2015.
15? Oh, damn. See? I'm way off.
Damn.
That's right.
Really?
Yes, sir.
No, 2018. 2018.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, when it ended.
Yeah, when it ended. Yeah. Oh. Season three, when it ended. Yeah.
2018.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry, I'm getting all my maths wrong.
Okay, so damn, yeah, it's been a while since we had anything Daredevil related. So, Mike, you saw the first episode. I saw both two episodes. Adrian hasn't got the chance to see it yet. Yeah. But, Mike, how do you feel about that first episode coming out?
I dug it.
You dug it?
Yeah. I think the only gripe I have with it is that I'm not used to
The digital stand-ins.
The digital stand-ins like that.
It is weird that they were trying to really do comic book accurate Daredevil with the rooftop swinging.
Yeah. Like, you kind of got a little bit at the end of, I think, season three.
But it was like,
or at the end of season
two. He jumps off a balcony and then you hear the sound effects. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're actually watching this fucker, Spider-Man, from rooftop to rooftop in the first episode.
It does look pretty jarring.
It does look very jarring. At least they did stick with the long shot format fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole opening intro where you had Bullseye and Daredevil fighting at the bar.
Yeah.
That was pretty nice keeping the same one long take. Because you know they always got to do that staple every season.
Yeah. There's always that one episode
mm-hmm.
where it shows the absolute most in that one long take.
Yeah.
And usually like the first one was that hallway scene
mm-hmm.
that we see originally. And then the second one I think was the introduction
to the Punisher. Staircase. It was the staircase. First one was the hallway scene with the corridor staring to save the children.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was in the staircase, him going down the stairs
for that long. There was two of them. There was the staircase of season two
mm-hmm.
and that one. And there was also Frank Castle's prison scene.
That true. Yeah, that was also one long take as well.
As well.
I don't remember season three if they had long takes.
God, I vaguely remember season three.
Yeah, I told myself I was going to rewatch it before watching Born Again. And I just ended watching a recap.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna look up really quick mm-hmm. the Daredevil.
Yeah. But
right now I'm watching the rooftop part.
You're watching the rooftop part. Okay.
It seems, I would say, odd.
It's odd because right? you can see the digital transition between digital character and then actually Charlie Cox in the suit.
Yeah.
So, and of course, it is a TV show, so you're not going to get that huge budget for VFX. I mean, it still looked good and decently, but it is jarring watching that.
Yeah, because I'm like, him going back and forth is like, it goes some CG climbing up the building.
Yeah.
And then him posed in front of it. Then him jumping up, swinging around like Spider-Man.
Yeah. See, like, it's that Spider-Man swing around that really makes it weird. Because the first season, the first three seasons were pretty grounded.
I don't remember this scene at all.
Also, another thing, too, is I just noticed, as well, I don't know if you noticed it, but the angle that he lands in, looking slightly down.
Yes.
I didn't like that either. Yeah.
I did not like that either as being like, because that's your first look at Daredevil again after like so many years of not seeing him. Mm. And I don't know. I feel like that intro, that like just appearance felt very
cartoonish. It only threw me off because I was so used to the effects of what they use. So I saw that motion blur effect.
Yeah.
That didn't look right. Like right when he makes, so when he gets on that rooftop and he makes contact with that wall and then stands there.
Yes.
You can see that motion blur effect, like right when he hits that wall first. So it was very jarring scene, like very.
You see the automatic effect of uncanny.
Yeah.
To automatically realistic.
Exactly.
And I'm surprised that he didn't do something of like a Texas switch using both the digital and realistic. Because one example I think of whenever I think of a Texas switch when you're using realistic person into a digital version is Sam Raimi did it really well in Spider-Man, the first one.
Do you remember when scene?
That's the scene where after his Uncle Ben got shot and he runs in the alley and he changes into his costume.
Got it. Yeah,
those, there's like little bits of like, not like a small transition. You can see the transition of like, objects that are blocking the camera.
When you have objects in the foreground to block so you can hide the cuts. Yeah, got it.
I'm surprised they didn't do something like that with it, at least like through the smoke or something.
Yeah, that would have been a smarter decision, but I think they got a little too overconfident with the VFX.
Yeah, they definitely wanted to put it out into the forefront and show you like, this is your new Daredevil now.
But it seems like they're really going to stay true with keeping with the violence with it.
Yes, thank God.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So he got riddled hard with those knives in that first fight.
Dude, he got fucked up.
Yeah. And I do like the dynamic they're having with Kingpin and Daredevil. Both those characters who they're you can kind of see they're trying to lead different life paths than what they've been doing.
Yeah.
But you know the world that they're living in, it's going to force them to go back into the old ways. Mm-hmm. So I watched the second episode and you see him working more into a case that's involved with Kingpin, but at the same time Kingpin's letting him know like I'm not involved with this, and he's trying to help out this one dude, but you can see him slipping because he sees the cracks in the police system.
Yeah.
He sees corrupt cops, and then at the very end he ends up killing cops.
Kingpin does.
No. Daredevil. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he ends up killing two officers at the very end. They're both corrupt and they're trying to kill a witness.
Oh,
but
shit.
It's that one piece that drives them over the edge. I mean, you saw in the trailer where he does that arm break.
Yes.
It's in that scene. And then he basically flips the guy over and just slams him right on his neck.
Oh, fuck.
So it really upped the stakes for that, where he's like, bam, going back into the killing method.
Damn.
Which he did take an entire year-long hiatus from being Daredevil.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can really see like the toll it's been taking on him. And I don't like the part where they're doing the BB on the street stuff.
Oh, wait, has it been a year? Like the hiatus of...
Between that bar fight?
Into
what's happening now. So
I thought it was like... Also, was it 1 year? I thought it was like 5 years.
No, it was just 1 year. It was just one year. Yeah. Also, so that was only 1 year time. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, you mentioned that he killed that cop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't technically his first kill would be throwing the guy off the roof?
He survives.
Okay.
So yeah, so Bullseye survives that. Okay. And then they have a whole trial right afterwards. That's where it shows the 1 year later.
Yeah.
So he survives that, and then he, you know, kind of like, I don't care, you know, I'm going to go to jail and everything. I feel like that's the one thing that did irritate me, that they brought back the character and the actors for Bullseye and for Foggy.
Only to kill off Foggy.
Just to kill them off, like, immediately, and then get rid of Bullseye in prison immediately. Like, maybe he might come back in later episodes, but it kind of seemed like, you know, we got some people from the show just to entice you, but it's not going to cover over them, let's get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. But... honestly, I think that might have been a response to when they first announced the character, the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, didn't they only announce, like, they said that only about two or three actors are coming back, and that's it.
Yeah.
And there were complaints about Foggy not coming back. And
yeah. And I think because of the complaints, they brought Foggy back. But then I think their response to that was like, oh, we'll bring him back just for the first episode.
Yeah. It felt like they brought people back just for the sake of
clean slating. Yeah.
And being like, hey, check it out. We got everybody from the original show. So it's like, yep, we're continuing on. Like in that bar scene, you had a lot of familiar faces as well, with like Josie as the bartender, mm-hmm, you know, as everything else. So I think they use that as a chance to say like, okay, look it, here's your people. But then we're going to go into a completely different route. And then you have like a new, now you have a new
love interest, the psychiatrist.
And you have like a new office now, mm-hmm, you know, a new practice, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's your way to say like, okay, this is how we're starting brand new, moving everything away from what it was.
Mm-hmm. Do you like that style? Like trying to like slowly move away from the original Netflix style and try to make it more into their Marvel television style?
I mean, I don't mind it. Mm-hmm. I wish Foggy would have lasted a little longer.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Like first 10 minutes just kind of feels like
a throwaway.
A throwaway.
Yeah.
And kind of like a fuck you kind of thing. Like I wish he kind of would have lasted a little longer. I feel like his impact would have hit a little bit harder later on in the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just my gripe.
Yeah, so I liked the beginning part for the first episode, and then the rest of it was kind of more just exposition and trying to fill in the world of what they're into now. So it was a little dry, but then the second episode does kind of pick up a little bit more. Okay. And now he's working on this court case. He's finding out the person he's defending is a vigilante.
Mm.
So now it's like that. It's you see more of the world drawing him back and trying to be Daredevil again.
Gotcha.
And even though he tries his hardest to step away, you see more of it more slipping through. And you kind of see that with Wilson Fisk too. Like, it does seem like he really wants to be mayor, not for power or anything. He just seems like he wants to be loved. Like, actually loved. But of course, you know, his wife, Vanessa's controlling the entire criminal organization. All of his cabinet members are just a bunch of yes men. So they're kind of just like, hey, we love the old Wilson Fisk, the criminal Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
So that's slowly bringing him back until like the second episode, he's going back to using dirty bribe methods again you see this world slowly trying to force them back into their old way. So I do want to see how that, if they're going to keep up that theme and how long they're going to prolong that theme until they get back to Kingpin and Daredevil again.
Gotcha.
And it's kind of fun. Like, I know people were making the jokes about the whole diner scene with them talking, where it seemed like a bunch of like bitter exes having a conversation.
Talking about the kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I am kind of excited to see how they're going to move forward with it. But there was already some reviews that came out, which people claim they saw the whole first season that they're showed to them. And they're saying it was pretty mid.
Oh, the very first season?
No, like, yeah, some people, apparently there's been reviewers who claimed out like Disney showed them the entirety of the new season of Daredevil Born Again. Mm. And they're claiming that it's like, hopefully season two will pick up, but they're saying like for the rest of this, it might be pretty mid.
Not surprised,
mm-hmm,
because it's coming off of the Netflix, you know, series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this could be the way of Disney kind of, you know, testing the water of darker material.
Yeah.
This could be like they're testing grounds for like, okay, let's see how far we can push it, but let's not push it too far just yet.
Like, it works. They now know they can work with rated R thanks to Deadpool and Wolverine. But yeah, it's a difference between rated R and then dark material, like really unsettling, yeah, dark themes.
Like, say, now you're dealing with heroes who are, you know, with death and, you know, moral decisions of, you know, what if you're willing to take someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, obviously, we got the whole, you know, the Avengers, you know, like, oh, these are the superheroes. They're doing great for everyone.
I mean, they're fighting space aliens, so no one cares.
Space aliens. Even then, the early on is like, we're fighting against the Taliban, so we don't care.
Yeah, we're fighting against Hydra, just Nazis. No one cares.
Yeah, we're doing that. Like, but now you're dealing with, you know,
standard criminals, thieves, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, which, like I said, with the Netflix series, they, you know, the Punisher and, you know, Punisher, Daredevil, all those, the devil is like, okay, these are some grounded issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now moved on to Disney, do you still deal with the same grounded issues and do you still deal in the same way?
Yeah, and I think they're really testing the waters with Punisher. So they announced they're not going to do a Punisher series. They're doing like a Punisher like short special. Like, I think it's going to be like a 1 hour, like a, you know how they did Werewolf by Night.
Yeah.
It seems like they're going to do that same fashion just with Punisher, just to test the waters of how much violence they can put into a show.
Dude, just go back to the way it was. No one's going to complain. No parents are going to cry about it because we know what...
Yeah, we know what we're getting ourselves into. Yeah.
Because we expect it. Unfortunately, at this point, we expect that Punisher to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because when no one is going, oh, this is Disney's Punisher or Disney's Daredevil. No, we're thinking, oh, we got... What's his name? Is Matthew Cox?
Charlie Cox?
Charlie Cox, sorry.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox. Oh, we got Charlie Cox back? Oh, yeah, he's going to whoop ass. Yeah. That's what we're thinking of.
Yeah, yeah. So now you got John Berthnall, too. It's like, come on, you got to bring in the serious violence for that.
Yeah.
The
we expect that prison scene all over again.
I mean, honestly,
Not that exact scene, but you know what I mean.
You know, on that level again.
The gratuitous violence of the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing that I am waiting for more episodes to come out. It's a lot of setup and exposition for these first two episodes. So you only got the fight in the very beginning of the first episode, and then you got a fight at the very end of the second episode. So much of that in between is just, it's the standard, you know, trying to live my life as an attorney.
Yeah. Mm.
So it does feel dry in those moments, but I do believe that's why they're trying to use the first couple episodes to build as much exposition. Hopefully the later episodes aren't like that. Hopefully it picks up the speed and start getting like a lot more Daredevil going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Because honestly, like, so the clips I'm watching and the way you're describing is I do, and as well from watching the previous ones, is the one thing I did really like was the whole moral dilemma between everything.
Mm-hmm.
Those conversations between Daredevil and Punisher, or, you know, trying to figure out what's right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would like to see more of that.
Yeah, yeah. And I do like the original format from the show where it focuses a lot on different court cases.
Yeah.
But this one is really more focused on to the mentality of Matthew Murdock going on right now. So it hasn't built up to that point where he's just focusing just on these cases, because the show is really too much focused on like, oh man, he's going to come back. The world's making Daredevil come back. When is he going to come back?
Yeah.
But I did say like before, like that BB on the street, those intercuts in the show, you remember those parts where it has like the interview, that lady interviewing random people in the streets?
Yeah.
I'm not too much of a fan of that portions. Yeah.
I do, as far as like creativity, I do like how the change in aspect ratios when his hearing.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. But yeah, I get you as far as like the interviews of the random people on the street.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of dig it at the same time because it kind of gives me a little bit of that Spider-Man vibe, like that Sam Raimi one. Interviewing random citizens on the street. Like, how do you feel about this man and blah, 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 blah.
How do you feel the state of New York and stuff like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's nice that you did point out about the whole hearing part in the very beginning of the bar of the first episode, because that was a really nice creative touch of him. Like, so this part where he's trying to listen to a conversation that his friend Foggy's having on the phone, and you can see the aspect ratio really crunched down. I can't even say what aspect ratio was, because that was way past 2.35 by 1.
Yeah.
It was like a really tight aspect ratio into it, and it really heavily focused on his intensive, like, super hearing.
It was almost like a, like 1 by...
It was a tight aspect ratio. It was really tight. I do want to see more creative liberties happen like that in the series. It was
like 1 by 3.
It was actually a really cool shot. When you actually see it, you'll know what we're talking about. Yeah. But basically when he's using his like super hearing, it basically really tight and crunched up the aspect ratio for that. Which that's why I do want to see more of like how it's like for Daredevil from his point of view having these powers. Like, remember that one scene, I think it was from season 2, where they kind of give you a hint of what he saw and his furrow.
Oh, everything's like, everything's on fire.
On fire, and you can kind of see the world from his vision.
You had people that were complaining about that.
Well, fuck those people.
Like, I think they wanted, like, the echo.
The echolation where, you know, you hear the sound wave sonics and
like
you see
the Ben Affleck one.
Yeah, yeah. No. I did like how they created it differently for him in this.
Yeah, to still be able to kind of see but not see.
Yeah. No, it was pretty interesting though. But what did he say? How many episodes this season's gonna be? 12 episodes?
I think. I know originally it was supposed to be like 20 something.
Yeah.
9 episodes?
9 episodes.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little more manageable.
Yeah, that's a lot more manageable. I mean, it is testing the waters to see if they can really bring it back.
Yeah.
They already announced they're gonna be working on a season 2, but at the same time, if this doesn't do as good as they want, I can see them canceling it. Unfortunately,
I see,
because they're in the tight waters with the Marvel TV shows right now.
I could see them canceling it after season 2, not this first season.
No. Because the investment already is in there.
The investment's already there, and it's gonna what people. Oh man, it's gonna be hard because it's what people want.
Yeah.
So it depends. Like I said, it's already lackluster. Where it's like it's not that great, but it's okay. Season two better bring it if they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you think they're gonna follow the same route how they did with Netflix? So if they try to bring back all the other Defender actors, they're gonna use Daredevil and slowly introduce them in Daredevil and see if they potentially have the ability to have spinoff series of their own.
I don't mind a recast of some of them, but
yeah.
You don't want like another Jessica Jones?
I don't want another Danny Rand.
You want Dan? You don't want Danny Rand?
I want a different Danny Rand.
Yeah,
White Iron Fist.
Dude, we don't talk about that.
Yeah. We don't talk about that one.
We don't talk about that.
Keep Luke Cage as it is.
Yeah, no, Luke Cage was good. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Luke Cage was cool. First season was eh. Second season was way better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I do like the actor who played Luke Cage. I was hoping they would bring him back at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude looks like the most of Luke Cage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't know. This might give him a chance, if it does good, to actually redo the Marvel television, because everyone has been complaining about Marvel television and all the shows and how they kind of played out, still trying to keep everything so neatly connected to the MCU expanded universe.
Yeah. What I'm hoping this does is it opens the door for other heroes,
mm-hmm.
For not only just the Defenders, the one we got, but actually go out and look for other grounded heroes or, you know, those type of shows. You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. So more grounded street level heroes that's not into like, let's go into a cosmic space adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it not only handling New York, but maybe like they did with Moon Knight,
mm-hmm.
you know, LA.
Yeah. But Moon Knight was pretty good too. And it kept itself separate away from the main MCU. Yeah.
So, I mean, if they were to do something like that where, you know, now you got all over the country kind of thing, you know, small stories here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would like to see that.
Yeah, definitely. Marvel needs a good switch up when it comes to the TV show. So hopefully they can use this as an example. If it does really good, you don't need to keep everything interconnected. We talked about this for so long.
Not interconnected, not all...
One linear story.
Linear story, all jolly, everything's, you know,
mm-hmm.
a bomb-ass soundtrack, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, we don't need all that.
Yeah. And I really hope they don't waste time on stupid spinoff series. Like, if they're like, yeah, this is so good, so we're going to give Kingpin his own show. Like, no one cares about stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Or like, hey, we introduced this vigilante, White Tiger. Let's get him his own show. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I really hope they don't use this as a platform to sell shows that no one really cares or really asks about. Like, no one asked for Echo.
No. Yeah.
And
no
I see why they did Echo, because a lot of this show heavily relies on Echo, unfortunately. Because a lot of the themes of what happened to Wilson Fisk carries over from Echo to Daredevil Born Again. Mm. So they still focused on his eye getting shot out, and he has still little scratch marks on his eye. Mm-hmm. He still talks about him raising Echo and stuff like that. It did heavily rely on that show for these first two episodes. More than the actual Netflix show, weirdly enough. Mm. Like, they touch on small bits of the Netflix show, but it really focused on what they personally produced.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if this, I'm about to say something, I don't know if it makes sense to you, but it makes sense to me,
mm-hmm.
is for some reason the Netflix television series all felt like real comic book shows. I don't even make that sense. It felt like it was actually watching a darker version of the comic books for real, not a cleaned up, you know, like the Avengers, all those. Like, they felt very...
You're talking about the Netflix ones, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They felt very Saturday morning cartoonish.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, got it.
And the Netflix series felt like I was actually watching the comic books for real, for what they were.
Got it. The dark gritty, the ones we grew up in the 90s and stuff like that. Yes,
when you read the comic books, I read the Punisher ones. I read a few of the Daredevil ones.
Mm-hmm.
That one felt more real. The show itself felt more real, like you're following the comic book itself. Not exactly one-to-one, but you know what I'm saying? Like, violent-wise, gratuity-wise, it's the same. Versus the movies felt more like a polished Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do agree.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, that's just like the filming and lighting style? Because you do have this nice, evenly lit, over, you know, bloomed, nice high lighting for the TV shows and for the movies and stuff like that. But then I did have my gripes with the first season for the Netflix of Daredevil. It was too dark. Yes. It reminded me of AVP Requiem.
Yeah, it is.
So there is a lot of scenes where I couldn't tell, but at least with this, they did increase the saturation and contrast so you can see more what's going on, and things were a lot better well lit.
No. It's not only lighting. It's everything that's too. It's the even the dialogue as well.
Yeah,
where it feels more
real,
more real, more grounded. Gritty.
Yeah,
that's what I like. So I mean, hopefully they expand on this. Hopefully they get more characters, more out of this one, because goddamn it, we need it.
Oh yeah. Is there anything you're expecting to see or you want to see in this, Mike, moving forward? Like any episodes you're like, man, I hope they have this going on.
Not anything in particular.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to see where it's going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just here for the ride.
You're just here for the ride? Just excited for that. What about you? Or do you have any like expectations you want to see certain characters, any other spinoffs? Is there any other shows you want to take in this fashion and try to bring out for other superheroes?
Not that I can think of right now. Dude, I want to see more Punisher, man.
You just want to see your Punisher, man. Yeah.
God damn it, dude. For once, they captured the exact one that I loved.
Well, we'll see how that special does. If it does really good, hopefully they'll have the courage to actually do a Punisher show.
Hopefully, man. God damn it, I'm begging you guys to do it. I'm begging you.
All right, well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How do you feel about the first two episodes of Daredevil Born Again? Do you love it? Do you hate it? You can keep watching this on our Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before we fully close out, Mike has those last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony mentioned, all the different ways you can be able to listen and watch it and watch us, including our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/theRedBandPodcast. So look for that screaming microphone and consider subscribing and sharing with a family member or a friend that you think might enjoy it. The videos usually come out every Friday at the time that they're a little bit past the time they're recorded, about a week or so.
Yeah.
But if you enjoy listening our audio tape, or not tape, if you enjoy listening to us like on the go, whether you're on your way to work or working out or even just on a walk, consider listening to us on all these streaming audio streaming apps: iHeartRadio, Samsung Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Sorry, I'm hungry. I'm trying to get through this. As well as being able to leave a like and comment and subscribe and share and all that good shit that comes with it with a friend or family that you know that might be in the business, or maybe some that you know just might enjoy it because they're curious about the business. Of course, we also have our Patreon account, which is also usually part of our links. And you know, consider subscribing to that too, because more subscribers equals more content, and we want to keep making these for you, but we would appreciate it if you subscribed so that way we can afford to keep doing this. So we'd really appreciate it if you could do that. And that's it. I'm gonna pass it back before I fumble up anything else.
All right, guys, you heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.